The film Cairo Conspiracy is an intense political thriller written and directed by Tariq Saleh, a filmmaker who grew up in Sweden. In the film, we meet Adam, a bright young man from a fishing village who gets the chance of a lifetime when he is offered a place at the prestigious Al-Azhar University in Cairo, the leading international centre in Sunni Islam. But when the elderly Grand Imam dies, Adam is dragged into the power struggle to replace the holy man. The government, who are nervous of political unrest, want to ensure that the new Grand Imam is one whose teachings are aligned with the government. But a radical group within the college has its own candidate. Adam is recruited against his will to spy for the government, answering to the state security officer, Colonel Ibrahim. I'm delighted that Tariq Saleh joins me now on the line from Stockholm. Tariq, if we could start with a bit of biography. I said you were from Sweden, yeah. But your father's yeah. family is Egyptian, and his parents came from a village not unlike the fishing village that Adam came from. So does that biography influence the Cairo conspiracy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It absolutely does. And, you know, my grandparents actually came from villages around the Nile Delta, and they were farmers, but they became teachers. They were, my grandmother and grandfather were the first in their villages to get an education. So they then became teachers when they were married, and they were sent to the exact same fishing village as in the film, Matareya.
Now, I think, is it true that the Cairo conspiracy began as an idea after you read Umberto Eco's book, The Name of the Rose, that kind of idea of conspiracy within religious institutions?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. I it's one of my favorite books, but I reread it as a grown man. You know, I read it as a teenager, and at that time it was sort of a Harry Potter to me because I didn't understand the intricacy and sort of how he's sort of investigating the religion through a crime. And when I read it as a grown-up, I was totally blown away by how what courage he had to go in and place a genre inside of a monastery. And I was like, could I do that? And I was like, absolutely not. That's out of the question, you know. That's how it began.
That's how it began. And the world, the film is mostly set in the Al-Azhar University. That's an ancient university. I mean, founded in 972. What can you tell us about its origins and how powerful it is in Egypt?
Oh, yeah. So it has a fascinating history because it was built by the Fatimids, which was a Shia sect. This group they wanted to create a sort of a learning center for Islam. But when Salah ad-Din took Egypt, when he invaded Egypt, he turned the institution into a Sunni university. It was the first thing he did. He wanted to change Egypt into a Sunni country, and he understood that he needed to make the learning center a Sunni center. In Sunni Islam, there is a problem with authority because, you know, no man is closer to God than anyone else, you know? So we don't have a pope, we don't have that kind of institution. So it was only natural that the most powerful place would be a learning center, and knowledge would be at the center of power in Sunni Islam. And that's why Al-Azhar, through the centuries, became this place where leaders were turning, and every Muslim, basically every Sunni Muslim, if you want to have an answer to a religious question, you will turn to Al-Azhar.
The Grand Imam then is the head of that institution, but he also has much more power in relation to the government and relation to the people, as you say, in Egypt. Does he compare to the Pope in terms of if you're of the Sunni religion?
He is the closest thing you can get to the Pope. And here is why it is so, where you could actually compare it is because in Islam, it influences every aspect of life. And you've probably heard the expression fatwa. A fatwa is a religious recommendation. And the problem in Sunni Islam is that any imam can declare a fatwa. You know, it because it doesn't have this structure, this authority structure. But there is no fatwa that is stronger than the fatwa of Sheikh al-Azhar. And that is because of the weight of the institution and because people actually believe that they have the knowledge to declare religious recommendations. So if you're a leader in Egypt or in the Arab world for that matter, but especially in Egypt, and you want to change a law, you know, people in villages and people, they will be like, yeah, you have your little law. I follow the laws of God. So they need to have religious recommendations coming with their law, basically. So that's how this institution becomes so powerful.
So into this comes innocent but very clever Adam, this young boy from a fishing village. So, and he is snapped up by this character called Colonel Ibrahim. So can you bring us into the role Colonel Ibrahim has? A fascinating character, a dangerous character.
My inspiration, of course, you know, I am also a Jean Le Carré fanatic. I would call me a Jean Le Carré fundamentalist. You know, I have read his books twice and I love his books. And of course, it's a blink or a homage to Smiley. And Smiley is an interesting character because I don't think that Smiley believed in the gospel that the states that the circus is preaching, you know, in you know, it's not that, but he believes in doing a job well done. He believes in carrying out his mission into perfection. And I don't remember in which book it is, but there is in one book someone accuses him and says, "You're a fanatic without a religious belief." That's the most dangerous kind, you know? And I think that Colonel Ibrahim is very much a man like that. He believes that he should do his job into perfection, but he doesn't believe in his mission, which makes him a very conflicted character in many ways.
Yes, and his mission, which he then puts this on Adam, because Adam is in such a weak position, is to find out what the more radical Muslims within the university are up to.
Oh, yeah, and also to make sure that the least likely candidate, but that the government loves because they have control over him, gets elected, which is, of course, a complicated and very razor sharp edge to walk on, because they cannot officially be involved in this, because officially the Grand Imam, or Sheikh al-Azhar as he's called, is elected by a council. It's called the Council of the Supreme Council of Scholars, which is 31 imams, and you know, it's a place that should have integrity, and state security doesn't have a seat at the table, which they are frustrated over. So they decide to manipulate the election.
Yes, and manipulate they do. And they use Adam to get their information so that they can manipulate the election. What are the parallels with what is happening in Egypt at the moment? Egypt is now run by President Sisi. And we know that Sisi led a coalition that overthrew Mohamed Morsi. Obviously, there is those tensions between the radical and the, we might think moderate, but moderate who enforces their moderate beliefs through an iron fist.
Yes. You know, what is fascinating and interesting there is that, of course, when I wrote the script, for me, you know, it takes a long time to make a movie. There wasn't a real conflict between El-Sisi and Sheikh al-Azhar, but you could say that in reality, The situation is the opposite, because El Sisi, the president, he's the new guy on the job, right?
Yes.
So he basically needs to put Al-Azhar in line, right? And the way he does that is that he's trying to muscle them. If they don't do what he says, he removes certain privileges that Al-Azhar has. But the real Sheikh Al-Azhar, who has been there on the job, he's very, very intelligent, very sophisticated. So he's not really having it. So they've had a pretty open conflict, where a power struggle in front of everyone. And this is sort of, for Egyptians, this is so extreme, because no one defies El Sisi. He is sort of a pharaoh, you know. Mm-hmm. You do not defy him. And so Sheikh Al-Azhar Tayyip has openly sort of challenged him. So I was sort of freaked out, because my film is fiction. I wanted it to be fiction. It was sort of a play with the idea, what if this happened? But then it became reality. And as Sisi, there is this moment, it was a couple of years ago, where Sheikh Al-Azhar and Sisi was on television together, and all of a sudden Sheikh Al-Azhar starts to tell this story about a king who had no knowledge but wanted to rule. And everyone understood that this story he's telling is about Sisi. And, you know, this became a sort of a, you know, people all over the Muslim world started to share this. And, you know, I was like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Do not steal my plot.
Yeah, you're ruining my film.
You're making my film into a documentary. You're changing genre.
You filmed Cairo Conspiracy in Turkey. Is that because you're persona non grata in Egypt?
Yes, and I knew that when I was writing the script, because I had been thrown out of Egypt when I was going to shoot the film I did before this, the Nile Hilton incident. And when that film came out, I mean, they made it very clear. I mean, they said on television that Tariq puts his foot in Egypt, we're going to arrest him. So I knew that I couldn't go and shoot it there. And I had this great opportunity that Sisi and Erdogan was in a sort of a, they had a fallout, you know, exactly around the time when I shot Cairo Conspiracy, which was very good for me. So I took the chance and went to Turkey to shoot it.
Well, look, at John Le Carré and Umberto Eco would be very proud of the results. Thank you so much, Tariq.
Thank you.
The Cairo Conspiracy is in selected cinemas from the 14th of April.